Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
5 years ago, July 2017, we were getting ready to leave Santa Rosa. After 2 wonderful years as an intern family, we've been very grateful for every time that we've been able to come back. And now, after 3 years, and we've been able to return. 5 years seems to go by really fast, but many things have happened in these 5 years, in back home in Norway, but also here. And it makes you reflect on what has changed in these 5 years. One of the things that I've noticed, and I've not only noticed it here in the US, but perhaps especially more so here than back home, is the increasing polarization that is happening between people. How things are becoming more black and white. You're either with or against. Nuances are gone. If you're from the wrong group, we don't really listen to what you have to say anymore. Like Father James mentioned last Sunday, people are angry, and it's hard to really know why. We don't want to understand each other. We want to be right. Right now, there's a war going on in the Ukraine, and in Europe, we can feel this even more tangible than you guys, but still, everyone knows about it. In many ways, it seems like there is a war, not just in Ukraine or between Russia and Ukraine, but there is a war within our own countries. Left against right, conservatives against liberals, red against blues, or, you know, whatever group you want to pick, with or against the current president, Trump or Biden. It even seems like a war is taking place in our churches as well. During COVID, we've been fighting over face masks, wearing them or not wearing them, vaccinations or not vaccinations. Are we with our bishop or are we against our bishop? Are we with our priest or are we against our priest? But listen, today Christ is calling us. Listen to the antiphons, and this was also the alternative reading for this gospel. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons or the children of God. It makes you think, or we should think at least, what does it mean to make peace? Or what is peace? In worldly terms, peace often seems to be the cessation of hostilities. No war. Stability and the economy can develop as it should. No what is the peace that Christ has in mind? If we turn to the liturgy, and this is something that has really been on my mind since the war has been going on, and in our parish we have both Russian and recent Ukrainians coming. What does it mean to be filled with the peace of Christ? Before we even start the liturgy, before we say blessed is the kingdom, there is a tiny portion that you probably don't hear the priest say very often, but it starts with the prayer of to the Holy Spirit, Heavenly King. And then it goes on, if you look in your liturgy book, it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, and goodwill among men." These are the words of the angels to the shepherds at the fields of Bethlehem. They were announcing the birth of Christ. They were announcing the new king and the peace he was going to bring to the world. The peace from above, from God. And then we start the liturgy with, "Blessed is the kingdom where God reigns, where Christ is Lord." In ancient times, the gospel was a word, or evangelion in Greek, is a word about good news. It's about good news that a king has established peace. And this is what we have heard today, what we hear in church. God has established peace on earth in Christ. And his kingdom is being established on earth in the church, in the worship, in us. And then we continue with, "In peace, let us pray to the Lord." In order for us to pray, there must be peace in us and among us. Peace is a foundation or a prerequisite for prayer. And this peace is not just the outward peace, but it's an inner peace. In our tradition, we value silence, inner peace, hesychia, in order to pray, in order to hear the gentle words and voice from our Lord. We have to be silent and peaceful. And the next word, petition, is for the peace from above and the salvation of our souls. The peace that God brings in Christ is a peace from above. It is a peace from above before it is a peace on earth. It is a spiritual peace. It's a peace within our hearts that Christ brings. And then we pray for the peace of the whole world, the welfare of the holy churches of God, and the union of all. In this, we see a hierarchy in which God's peace is the foundation for the peace of the world. And in the true sense, there cannot be peace in the world, a true peace, without it being peace in our hearts, peace between ourselves and among ourselves. And listen to the words of the liturgy, the words that are left. How many times the word peace comes up? How many times the priest is greeting us, "Peace to you." An offering of peace, a mercy of peace, that we may offer this oblation, holy oblation, in peace. Notice in the gospel how many times Christ is greeting his disciple with peace and fear not. In order to have and make peace, we must forgive sometimes. We have to let go of something we are holding on to, a principle that might seem really important to us, but in the greater scheme, perhaps, or it will fade away. We have to give up something. You have to give up something in your relationship in order to make peace. This is the nature of love, and love and peace are together. They're the fruits of the spirits that we hear in the epistles and in the gospels. There is no love without sacrifice. Something in us have to be put aside in order to love. Something that I want to do, something that I think is important perhaps, in order to have a marriage, or in order to have, in a family, or with a friend, or especially in the church. So this is what God is calling us to. Christ is calling us to make peace, because only when we make peace, or I should say, when we make peace, we will be called the children of God. And let me say a few words about small things. In times of war, and this is also something that has struck me, you know, when you have people from two warring nations, and we're all, we feel in Europe especially that we are a part of this. Norway's a NATO country, and being a chaplain in the Norwegian Armed Forces and being in a Russian tradition church, you kind of feel that tension very tangible every day in church and at work. But the small things, how important they are, and how powerful they are in the times of crisis. Small things between someone who are at animosity between themselves. Between, let's say, a Russian and a Ukrainian, a smile, a help lifting something for someone, doing something very, very small. But because of the difficulty and the circumstances around, we can see the significance of it. We can see the sacrifices that this small thing can do, how great power it has. And this is really encouraging, really, because we can all do small things. And we often despise the small things because we want to do great things. But very often the small things are the greatest things that we can do. And these are the things that God is asking us to do. In Norwegian churches, and this is from a tradition from the medieval ages, perhaps it, who knows, maybe it was an Orthodox tradition back 1,000 years ago, but in the narthex in Norwegian churches, it makes you kind of smile, I guess, but it's called våpenhus, which means the house of weapons. And so you might imagine Vikings with helmets and swords and spears, and you're okay, I have to go to church. I'll hand in my weapons before I enter in. But I think there is something really important in this, and we might giggle and smile of it. But maybe we should put a sign above our churches in the narthex. This is a house of weapons. Leave your weapons outside. Leave your weapons, your principles, politics, outside. We're here to worship God. We're here to love each other. And this is much more important. This is why we're here. And let us do the small things to love each other. Let us imitate the saints that surrounds us, who are filled with the peace of God, and who sacrificed, who even martyred, became martyrs. And let's become the children of God. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.